Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
In 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that the serpent, the way it deceived Eve by its cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So, what he's talking about to present the pure virgin, which is the church, to Christ, is that we would have pure devotion. So what he sees is under attack is that the church at this time period was being deceived and was being led astray from pure devotion. Did you know that you were the bride of Christ? Did you know that you were to have pure devotion to one husband, one holy marriage? So what Paul is talking about here in these verses is he's backing the church up and he says, I need you to look at the big picture. Not the 80 or 90 years that you have upon the earth, but the real eternity that you're going to be entering into. The real big picture. I need you to see this, church, so you don't get led astray. You need to see the big picture. What is the big picture? The big picture is that on that day, there is going to be rejoicing because the marriage feast of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb is going to take place at the end of time. And the bride of Christ, which is the church, has made herself ready. My question is, have you made yourself ready? Do you even know what it means to make yourself ready? How are we making ourselves ready? Because it's not so important necessarily all the activities, all the things we do. We can't lose sight of the big picture, which is that we have to make ourselves ready. So, the Apostle Paul gives a little hint to this of why Christ died, big picture, is that Christ loved His church and gave Himself for His church to sanctify, to cleanse her by the washing with the Word. Now, why did Christ die? Well, He died for His bride. He died because He wanted to have this amazing intimacy with her that at the end of time, His bride would be presented to Him with splendor, without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, that His bride, His church, would be in perfect holiness. She would be beautiful because she has prepared herself. Now, this is both future tense and present tense. God has had a love affair with His people since the beginning, and the way this thing comes to an end, do you know how long eternity is? I mean, we can't even comprehend it. Do you know how long 90 years is? It's really short. So the way the love story goes is that we, His people, are put through this refining fire and we're to make ourselves pure and holy, without spot, without blemish, that on that day we will present ourselves beautiful to Him. Now we know that that doesn't happen without Jesus dying for us. But as we read this book, it's constantly reminding us that He has this deep passion for His bride and He's trying to get His bride purified. Now we know that in the end, the bride is totally like Him. I mean, this has to happen supernaturally. And in the end, when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. The bride will be absolutely, totally purified when Christ returns. We will be totally made ready at that moment because we will be like Him. As He is holy, we will be holy. But, having said that, we are still responsible as the church, as the bride, to make ourselves holy right here and now. To make ourselves ready for this marriage feast. The bride needs to make herself ready. The Apostle Paul again says, I am jealous because I have betrothed you to one husband. I thought you understood that what the church was the bride of Christ, and I am betrothing you to Him. And my desire is to present you as a pure virgin to Him. with pure devotion to Christ. But he says there's a problem here. There's a problem here in April 11th, 2021. The bride is called right now to make herself ready, to be beautified, to have one love, to be fully devoted to Him. This must be the passion of the church right now, today, now. And you say, well, Pastor, it is. What Paul seems to be most concerned about, which messes up the pure virginity, is that Satan is cunning and he's deceiving. And listen, it says here that in your thoughts, you will be led away, led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. How many people know there's a lot of things trying to captivate our minds, captivate our thoughts? Paul goes on to say, if somebody comes to you proclaiming another Jesus than the one I proclaimed to you, if somebody has a different spirit from the one that you received, he says, if somebody comes with a different gospel, this is going to mess with your virginity. Anytime we believe a different spirit, a different Christ, a different gospel, this makes us less than pure. And by the way, he's not talking strictly about false doctrine. He's talking about a lot of stuff that might spot the bride or wrinkle the bride. In Revelations, it talks about the bride as being undefiled in her virginity. And here is the key to the virginity. Here is the key to the holiness. Here is the key to the beauty. Here is what attracts Jesus to the bride and the bride to Jesus. Listen, they are virgins. What does that mean? These are the ones who will follow the Lamb wherever He goes. They have eyes for one person. They have hearts for one person. They have desires for one person. They are totally, completely in love. How many people know that when you're really authentically in love, you can think of nothing else? Love has captivated you to the point that you are obsessed with the one you love. Your devotion is pure, holy, single. That is what the apostle is concerned about. It says of this virgin bride that she is singing a song that was never sung before and that no one could learn. She's got a song in her heart that she's singing to Christ that is a song that has never been sung before and no one can learn. It is right in here. It's a beautiful thing. And my question to you is, how does the bride make herself ready? How does the bride make herself pure? How does the bride enter into deeper intimacy with Christ? And I want to say that it really is by concentrating on these two things, wisdom and truth. The thing that keeps us from deception is that we are in love with the wisdom of God and we are in love with the truth of God. And anything that comes outside of the wisdom or the truth of God, the way God conducts Himself, or what the Scriptures tell us, is to be completely rejected. Jesus said that in the last days, He says His church, His people would be like 10 virgins. And we know this story, we've seen it before. 10 virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom. We were ready. But 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Notice the emphasis is on wisdom. The bride needs to be wise. Not foolish, wise. Purity, the virgin, wise. What does the fire represent? What does the oil represent? What did these not have that they had? Well, we know that the fire, the oil that comes and burns in the lamp is always, almost always, identified with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fell, He brought illumination, power, light to the disciples. It was like a fire, it was like a tongue of fire landing on Him. Very similar. The church needs to have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who Christ is. If not, we will look sad and stupid and foolish when He comes back. The Bible tells us that the ones who were foolish took their lamps. They were part of the church. They took their lamps, but they had no oil. And the wise took oil. It says when Jesus comes back, His return, when the church is caught up to meet Him in the air, the bridegroom was delaying, and He's delaying right now, and we're all wondering when Christ is going to return. It says that the church became drowsy, and they all slept. We're in this state right now. We're drowsy and sleeping. But there's going to be an alarm. It's going to happen at midnight. There's going to be a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet Him. And the church has to awaken to go out and meet Him. But again, we're talking about the contrast of the foolish church and the wise church. The foolish say to the wise, give us some oil for our lamps are going. We need to know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. Somehow this comes. This is not what we expected. This is not. And here's what the wise virgins say to the foolish ones. Go rather to the dealer and buy for yourself. This is kind of a weird statement. You don't know what's going on. Yeah, you're mystified. Yeah, you've been foolish. Yeah, you've been in darkness. You need to go right now and get oil. Now, we know in the story that they don't have enough time, and so they end up on the outside looking in. So what is this? This is what the Holy Spirit is all about. He is about an anointing. He's about teaching us everything we need to know. The Holy Spirit is our great teacher. Go buy for yourself is also a term that's used in the book of Revelation when the church of Laodicea doesn't know what's going on. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined from fire. The emphasis is on buy. If you go back and look at Proverbs, there's an emphasis on buying truth and not selling it. And there's also an emphasis on buying wisdom. We buy truth, we buy wisdom. We buy instruction, we buy understanding. This to me is what I see is that if we're not careful, we're going to be deceived because we're not really walking in the wisdom of God. We are not really ready for what is coming. Why? Because we're walking in a state of a lack of wisdom and revelation. And these are the only ones who are authentically ready. So this is the pure bride. This is what I want you to be when Christ returns. I want you to be this. I don't want you to be this. These are foolish. These are wise. Emphasis is on wisdom. Wisdom. Notice what it says here in Ephesians. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise. Why? Because the days are evil. How many people know we're in evil days right now? It is more evil today than it's ever been. But having said that, the only answer is wise. The only answer to evil days is wisdom. Wisdom is what the church needs. The Bible says that Jesus is in the process of nurturing and cherishing His church. He is maturing His church. He is protecting His church. This is what He's doing for His bride in the state of maturity. The Apostle Paul was concerned that, and I'm going to show you where a lack of wisdom comes from. Where does a lack of wisdom come from? The Apostle Paul says, if there are mature people there, I want to impart wisdom. Not the wisdom of the faith, the wisdom of God. If there are mature people, I want to impart wisdom. But he goes on to say, there's a lot of people that are not spiritual. They're still of the flesh. They're still infants. They're not ready. They're not ready for wisdom. Again, the emphasis has to be on, is the church ready for the wisdom of God? He says, here's the earmark. You are connected to camps or individuals for wisdom and revelation. Look, here's what he says. You're still in the flesh. How do I know you're still in the flesh? How do I know you're not wise? How do I know you're foolish? How do I know? Because there's strife, there's jealousy, and many of you are saying, I follow Paul. Others would say, I follow Apollos. Aren't you being merely human? In other words, immaturity is marked by following other camps, other individuals, other voices outside of the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of wisdom. What am I talking about here? You can always identify the immature. They will say, I am a Calvinist. I follow Calvin. I'm a Pentecostal. That's what I'm. I'm all about the Pentecostal. I'm a Catholic. I'm all about Catholicism. Now you know when you hear these things in strong ways the church is immature. I am of Apollos. I am of Paul. No. Your eyes are getting blinded and you're not going to be able to see. I'm following a group of people. I'm a charismatic. I'm a Lutheran. Whatever label you attach to yourself as what you are immature. Here's what Paul says. You are Christ. You are His bride. Christ is God's. You belong to Christ. You do not belong to a group. You do not belong to individuals. You do not belong to a particular church. You are Christ's. You are His bride. You're not a Catholic. You're not a charismatic. You're not a Calvinist. You're Christ's bride. I'm a proud conservative. I'm one of those tree-hugging liberals you weren't about. This is my camp. This is who I am. It's immaturity. I get the frustration people have in politics. I get the frustration people who are Democrats say, oh, Trump almost ruined our country. I get that frustration. I get the other frustration of the evangelicals. John Perkins is a wonderful evangelical. He says he's urging Christians to pray that D.C. experiences chaos, conflict, and gridlock. Now, I first read that he's praying for Washington to receive chaos, conflict. Do we really need to pray for that? This is classified as unnecessary prayer. God has answered this prayer a long time ago. I don't know what he's talking about. It certainly doesn't fit the 1 Timothy model in which we pray for our leaders no matter who they are. This is where the church has to rise up in maturity. Because we saw the other, maybe, group that bordered on a particular... You know, they're all angry with the president. This is where we need to learn how to love the president. To show them what maturity looks like. You can love people you disagree with. It's possible. Even if you think they're your enemies, you can love them. So I saw this group and I wonder, why do we need wisdom? Why is the church lacking it so much? Texas will not take the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? It's the vaccine. I got awfully quiet in here. I thought this was, when I first thought this, they can't be serious, can they? Could they be this biblically illiterate in Texas? And then I said to myself, why are they getting all this bad information? Where does this bad information come from? It comes from the echo chamber. It comes from Facebook and YouTube and whatever other group you're attached to. Enter into the echo chamber and hear all the same stuff. If you're on the left, enter into the echo chamber of the left. If you're on the right, enter into the echo chamber of the right. And just be brainwashed. This idea of the COVID being... I guess it's being taken seriously. Is COVID-19 vaccine the mark? I guess it's being taken seriously. And I had to ask myself, why is it being taken seriously? And then I thought to myself, this is why it's being taken seriously. Because Christians are a lot like me when I stay up at past 12 o'clock with a bag of Doritos. And I'm sitting there watching infomercials. Oh, Coral Calcium, that sounds good. Helps the prostate. Where's my wife's line? Up at past midnight. But I listen to something. It sounds good. It seems right. This is the church. This guy's not very wise. He's not very bright. He doesn't have a lot of truth, nor does he have a lot of wisdom. This is the church right now. Believe in everything that comes down the pike. Look at this one. COVID-19. There's some sort of microchip in it. Don't take the mark of the beast. Everybody's going, I think the pastor might have something wrong with him now. Because I did get the vaccine. That's Listen. And maybe it's 666. Well, the fact that the church is actually seriously considering the vaccine as 666 or as the mark of the beast shows me that they haven't been reading their Bibles. Not at all. What about this passport? And again, another question. My favorite show used to be, anyway, Bible Answer Man. Could COVID-19, huh? What? This is what's trending on Twitter. Mark of the Beast. Everybody wants to talk about it. And now, because we have to talk about this, we can't talk about 5G. The biggest cover-up in history. And here's what I want to say to you. Don't be so stupid. Don't be so gullible. I was never more embarrassed to be a Christian than I am right now. But the only other time I can remember I was embarrassed to be a Christian and what Christians are saying was Y2K! Because if you turn on Christian radio during Y2K, every knucklehead with a microphone was saying, get ready. Get ready. We're first going to introduce you to the problem of the coming storm. Then we're going to talk about it in the light of biblical prophecy. And then we're going to prepare you for the challenge. And what does it mean to be prepared for the challenge? Well, you better whip out your credit cards. Because we got something for you. Christian radio, I was never more embarrassed. Because guess what Christians don't know anything about? Computers! There's that guy! And so he shelled out the bucks for the Y2K survival kit. Why am I bringing this up? The context of wisdom and foolishness. The church being ready and the church not being ready. How do I know, biblically speaking, Pastor? And maybe this is the excuse. Look, not many of you wise according to worldly standards. Okay, I get that. But what concerns me maybe more is that, let me just explain this to you real quick. I'm trying to explain this to you in a way where I don't sound like it's condescending, but I realize I've already probably passed that. Look, most evangelicals are pre-tribulation, right? That means you believe that the church is raptured. This is 36% believe that the church is raptured before the tribulation. Does anybody know when the mark of the beast actually occurs? Has anybody actually looked at where it talks about the mark of the beast? It's way into the tribulation. The church is already gone. The church is already gone by now. Way gone. This is not complicated eschatology. This is just good, something that maybe a Sunday school teacher should have taught. The fact that it's being asked. Look. No one can be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. The numbers there took the name. This calls for wisdom. Yeah, this calls for wisdom. Hopefully these people have wisdom because our church now doesn't have much of it. This is all about late tribulation stuff. Look at what it goes on to say. After they take the mark, the Bible says the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. These who worship the beast and its image, whoever receives the mark. Whoever receives the mark, these are the ungodly who receive the mark. The only one who receives the mark are the ungodly. Into the tribulation. Look at this. This is prior to what I just told you about. It's the beast that was allowed to make war on the saints and conquer them. The Jewish believers that are on the earth in the tribulation are conquered. They're conquered. They're defeated. That means they're killed. And authority was given to the beast over every tribe and people and language. Look what it goes on to say. All who dwell on the earth will worship the beast. After the saints are gone, the saints have been caught. By the way, these are Jewish people that go through the tribulation. The church is way gone.
I don't understand.
This is Texas, the buckle of the Bible Belt. How did they get this way? Why are Greg Laurie and the Bible Answer Man actually taking this question seriously? Because the church is in the echo chamber of bad, bad, bad theology. We have linked ourselves to bad things. When the rapture comes, before the tribulation, if you don't get any smarter, you're going to be in this group right here. If you don't get any smarter, you're going to be in this group. The church is wise and it's anointed. It's purely devoted to Christ and His wisdom. His wisdom is His ways, His conduct, His word. These people are not. These people are foolish and they walk in darkness. What does that mean? They're spotted, they're wrinkled, they follow the worldly way. They have worldly loves and concerns. And the devil, you don't think the devil knows this? How do I mess up these people? I have to figure out a way to deceive them. I'll get them really involved in politics. I will tell them that the real problem are these guys. The real problem is this. Well, I'll give you credit. You got the first three letters right. The real problem is demonic. The real problem are demons. These are what control. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers. Once He gets us to focus on groups, flesh and blood groups, we miss that we're really against rule. Look at this. Wickedness in high places. Wickedness in the highest place. I'll tell you, I tell you what you really got to watch out for, because I'm listening to a lot. I'm on YouTube. I tell you, I'm on YouTube. And I'm also on talk radio, too. I'll tell you what you got to watch out for. That's the deep state. It's awfully funny. You guys really quiet in here for some reason. Again, you got one word right. You just didn't go deep enough. You don't got to worry about the deep state. You got to worry about the deep, deep state. This is where bad information is coming. This is where deception is coming from. This is what is eventually going to take over. And I don't care what political party you are at. They do not care. The bottomless pit, the real deep state, is weaving a web. And the church has only one weapon. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down stronghold. But we say, we're not satisfied with that weapon. We better go get other weapons. We better fight. And by the way, when the church loses its identity, its calling. And by the way, here's a good idea when you're in an evil place with evil happening. Like I don't think there's any place worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did Abraham do? He wanted to intercede for the city. He wanted to have intercession. See, this is the spirit of intercession. This is what the church should be having. Spirit of intercession. Spirit of intercession. This is the church. This is wise. Let me show you foolishness. A spirit of insurrection. Weapons of my warfare are not carnal. I wish God could handle this. I wish God had enough power. But if I don't rise up and do something, God can't do anything. God and guns since 1776. Not a spirit of intercession for the bad guys, but a spirit of wait till they get a load of us. This is not the spirit of Christ. This is not the wisdom of Christ. The days are evil. You better get wise. The days are evil. You better get wise. And why? Because you got to make the best use of your time. Because the days are evil. Make the best use. What is the best? Listen. What is the best use of your time right here? Therefore, do not be foolish. What? Understand the will of the Lord. 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 What if the Lord is behind all of this? As Jeremiah told the people of God. What if He's behind the Babylonians? What if it's His will that they bring you into captivity? Well, I got an idea. Let's stone Jeremiah. The prophets were always wise men. And the prophets, wise men. Jesus sends prophets who are wise. What and I'm going to teach you about wisdom. I'm going to teach you a little bit about wisdom, and I want you to use this as a checkmark. I want you to ask yourself, are you wise? Because the church needs to be wise. Here it is. Here's the check mark for wisdom. This is from James, not from my imagination. This is James. You want to be wise? You want to be a wise virgin? Here it is. Here it is. Make it a check mark. Are you pure? Have you cleaned out your heart? Cleaned out your mind? You're getting it pure. Second, are you a peaceable person? Are you about peace? Here's a big one. Are you gentle? Are you gentle and peaceable? Are you open to reason? Or are you closed-minded? Don't want to hear anything. And are you a person who's full of mercy? If you're full of mercy, open to reason, gentle, peaceable, you're wise. And are you sowing peace, making peace, or are you sowing division and making division? If that wasn't enough, let me give it to you another place. Have nothing to do with foolish or arrogant conversation that breed quarrel. Have nothing to do with foolish or arrogant conversations. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. He must be checklist. First of all, have nothing to do with foolish. Don't be a person who quarrels. Be kind to everyone. And then here's the big one. Here's the one I think the church cannot do right now. We cannot patiently endure evil. We're not going to do it. We see evil, we're not going to patiently endure it. We're not. We're not going to be wise. Why does the church need to be wise? Because we are the bride of Christ. He is making us into His own beauty. Listen. How do we deal with these people? You need to correct your opponents with what? Gentleness. And by the way, I'm not gentle with you because you're the church. I'm actually kind of strong with you. But to the world, we need to be gentle. That God might grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of truth. Listen, they are in bondage to the devil. They've been captive to do his will. We have to use gentleness to get them out of captivity. The God of this world has blinded them. Their only hope is that we become the bride of Christ. And I just want to close by saying this. When the bride of Christ looks a lot more like the bride of the blinded, when this group and this group pretty much look identical, they're pretty much just identical. Different signs, same attitude, same hostility, same anger. Both groups, this is not wise. Satan goes, I've turned your bride into an angry mob, Jesus. They look like my people, not your people. See, we have this desire that God would bring down fire and consume our enemies. And Jesus is saying to us the same thing He said to John and James. Good men wanted to call it on fire. He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Satan has a strategy. And it's to make the church, the bride of Christ, look like this. Jesus said He did not come into this world to condemn it, but He came into it to save it. The bride of Christ is the saving component to the world. We have one job in the darkness of the night, is to reflect Christ to a dark world.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.